Let's go into the word this evening. Let's agree in prayer. Thank you, Father, for your spirit within us. Thank you, Father, for that spirit that we've received upon salvation by that great work of redemption. We are grateful, Father. We decree and declare this evening that as we go into the world, our eyes of understanding, they are enlightened to see and behold ourselves more and more the way you see us in Christ. There is clarity as the truth of God's word is taught. Our hearts are receptive to receive God's word this evening. There is no confusion. There is no confusion. Light shines in dark areas in our knowledge. Light shines in dark areas in our hearts. We pray, Lord, at the end of this meeting, as saints, your word is taught, and as saints, we are edified, and Christ alone is glorified. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. So we would continue in the line in which we started months ago. We started a very broad topic, investigating scriptures. I believe it's been a beautiful time. We've been able to apply some principles of exegesis on certain portions of the Bible. You know, we were done with series one about in last month or thereabout. Now we're in series two. Remember, we're heading towards a great picture, and that great picture is what you call the sacred cow. So we are in line with trying to understand scriptures for what they mean. We've looked at several scriptures like "He ask amiss and receive not, that he may consume upon your flesh." We've explained that James wasn't teaching prayer in James chapter 4, 1, 2, 3, 4. We looked at Philippians 3, verse 10, that I may know you and power of your resurrection. Paul wasn't praying. We saw that from scriptures. On Sunday, we looked at "Give, it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom." You saw that is a wrong use of scripture for offering, what people call offering time, you know. And, you know, we explained from scriptures, and we saw that there was no mention of money in that narrative. So Jesus wasn't teaching, "Give money so more money will come to you." You know, we gave an example of a friend of mine who said he has given to the point he is now poor. Meanwhile, we preachers told him that he should give, he will never be poor. You know, we looked at that on Sunday, and we were able to explain from scriptures about what "give, it shall not be given, give, it shall be given unto you, good measures," you know, and things like that. We saw that wasn't about money. That wasn't about what we call seed sowing. That wasn't about if you want to buy a suit, if you want suit to come towards you. You know, people can be very interesting in their analytical explanations of what you call testimony. You know, I was led by the Spirit to give out several tithes. As soon as I gave out several tithes, plenty of suits were coming towards me. You know, we explain all of that. And if you're just joining us, it will be good to lay your hands on those teachings in time past, because we are really building somewhere. Today will not be any different. We would continue in that same line, investigating scriptures. You know, we've seen "I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me." You know, we explain how a saint cannot do everything on earth, and we explain what Paul meant in context. You know, we've looked at a couple of scriptures here and there to see the real things or the real meanings of scripture. You know, and we also said that a scripture cannot mean today what it never meant. Bible says in fact, I say there's no prophecy of the prophets in scriptures that is of private interpretation. You know, scriptures are to explain as a whole, yeah, having a bias, having a focus, Christ Jesus. So Christ is to be seen from the pages of scriptures. So how do you know you've read the Bible properly? It is when you read scriptures and you see Christ. You see Moses and all the prophets, they pointed all to Christ. John 1:45, Philip found Nathanael and told him and said, "Behold the man which Moses of the law," or Moses in the law, "and the prophet spoke about, Jesus Christ of Nazareth." John 5:35, "You said to scripture, you think you have life in them, but they are they which testify and point to me." John 5:45, 46, 47, he says, "If you had believed Moses, you would have believed me because he wrote about me." Luke 24:24, "And certain of them went to the sepulchre and found it even as so. And he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart, to believe all that the prophet have spoken." Then beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them the things concerning himself. Luke 24, "The same things I said to you while I was yet with you, the same thing Moses said and the psalmist and the prophet said." You know, we looked at 2 Timothy 3 verse 15, 16, "Continue in things which you've heard, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation." In all scriptures are given by inspiration of God. They are advantages for teaching, for correction, to straighten up a mindset, you know, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be truly punished unto every good work. You know, so we've seen that the fulcrum of scripture points to Christ. So we've also seen the importance of discipleship. Matthew 28, verse 18, "All power in heaven and earth has been given unto me. Go ye therefore into the world and make disciples, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. We saw that baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost is not about water baptism. Yeah, baptizing them is about indoctrinating people into a particular doctrine of Christ. Yeah, so what does it mean to baptize? It means to teach. So everything that's been baptized into that name, yeah, Galatians 3 shows us that for as many of you that have been baptized, you put on Christ. You know, so we have seen that when he says that go into all nations and make people students, he says teach all nations. It means make people pupils. We were establishing one of our last meetings about how a teacher is to have students and a student is to have a teacher. So a student that has a teacher must be a teacher to another student. What does that mean? Every disciple he has a discipler, and every disciple has a disciple he is discipling. What does that mean? Every student has a teacher, and you as a student, you are a teacher to another student who is learning from you. Yeah, that is the way the truth of God's word spreads. Yeah, so we've looked at things like that. We've looked at the consistent instruction about delivering the message of the gospel. You know, we've seen a couple of things. We just did a quick brush down in the last 5 minutes. Yeah, and today we will not be doing anything different. We're trying to explain scriptures using scriptures. And if you've been following, you'll realize that one of the most consistent words we have been using, or phrases we've been using, amongst everything we've spoken about, is about reading in context. Yeah, I mean, we looked at 18 points a believer should hold on to when reading scriptures. A few points. We looked at about 8-9 principles a believer should consider while reading scriptures. We looked at modes of communication. You know, maybe on Sunday we should go into figures of speech and how figures of speech were used in the Bible. You know, figures of speech were used all through scriptures. You know, a lot of things were used. There were a lot of literals there, but lots of figures of speech also. Lots of literals and figures of speech together. And so today we will not be doing so much different. If you remember from our previous teaching, we spoke about ways people explain scriptures. We looked at ways people explain scriptures. I'm sure that was in one of our last few tracks in series one. Yeah. So we looked at how people explain scriptures using their testimonies or miracles. You know, and you know, when people say things like the word works. You know, but the truth is that when we look through scriptures like consistency of scripture, we realize that the word has worked. Yeah, so you know, people say things in very interesting ways, you know, and use their testimonies to validate or explain scriptures. You know, for the plans I have of you, they are good and not of evil to bring to an expected end. That can never be your car, your job, your house, or a contract. Yeah, we looked at all of those from scriptures. We saw people use their visions, their miracles to explain the Bible. Yeah, another way people do explain scriptures is using philosophies, which Colossians 2 warns us, do not be carried away by empty philosophies and high sounding nonsenses. Yeah, that's the NLT translation. You know, people use empty philosophies, you know, empty philosophies, cultural backgrounds, things that we've learned over time, what you call sacred cows, you know, which is what we are really heading to in investigating scripture series 3. We're going to be looking at what baptism is, what communion is, what feet washing is, what first fruit is, what tithing is, you know, all those things that looks like the saints cannot talk about, you know, don't talk about it or it works, you know, and things like that. We'll look at them through the examine them using scriptures. You know, as saints in God's palace, we know that already, that we don't establish any doctrinal thing that is not well taught in the epistles and taught by Jesus Christ. You know, we don't establish anything well taught you and things like that. So we saw people use their philosophies to explain scriptures, their beliefs. You know, use that, you know, I usually call it eisegesis, you call backup. Yeah, so we also saw that there's an apostolic way of explaining scriptures, which is what? Explaining and rightly dividing the word of truth using the scriptures and scriptures alone. What does that mean? You want to explain Genesis, use the scriptures. Yeah, we are saints. We are not to follow men that say angel or whoever woke them up at 3:57 p.m. or a.m. or whatever time they sleep, you know, and show them a new perspective. There is no new perspective to the apostolic doctrine. We are to find out what the apostles taught and to explain it that way. Yeah, that's why 1 Timothy 2, we tell 1 Timothy 2 verse 2, Paul told Timothy, he said, and the things that which you've heard of me amongst many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men. What does that mean? Look at it carefully. It means that the message that Jesus preached in Acts chapter 1 verse 2 and 3, like we see, which he taught for 40 days concerning the kingdom of God, it means that if Jesus should come back in bodily form right now and sit in the congregation, he should hear the same things that he taught them for 40 days. You see why Bible study is so important. You see why Bible study is so important? You know, I use something to always gauge myself. I ask myself a question. Josh, can you teach what you are teaching if Jesus is sitting there? Yeah, that always brings me back to check. Yeah, if I go out of evangelism and I'm talking to someone, if Jesus were to stand, you know, in the real sense, is he actually even there with me? You know, he lives in me. I'm talking if he comes bodily and stands inside, can I say what I'm saying? You know, that I would tell people, if you're suffering, check your offering, you know, to go to a new level, you sow a seed of a new level so that I can defeat the devil on the former level. You know, all those, you know, things. Paul already warned us in 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy 4. He says, for a time will come when they will no longer endure sound doctrine, but they will heap to themselves false teachers, having itching ears. Yeah, that's 1 Timothy 4, verse 1, 2, 3. I just summarized there. You know, so can I say the things? That means Jesus is to come and meet us saying the same thing that he said to his disciples. You see, so there is nothing like God graced me with an anointing for holiness. God graced me with an anointing for forgiveness of sins. God graced me with finished works. God graced me with healing. No, no, no. A man of God is to be truly furnished. Yeah? Yeah, is to be furnished, is to be properly furnished. Why? For the work of ministry. We've seen in our past teachings that every saint is to say the same thing concerning doctrine. So it's either you are wrong or you are right. It's either you are wrong or you are right. There is no two ways about it. There's no two ways about it. Yeah, you might be almost, but almost is almost nearly doesn't kill a bear, like we usually say. So why do we give ourselves to study? It is because we know the importance. You know, I know people personally that have lost their lives because of false doctrine. I know people that have died because of false doctrine, holding on to scriptures that did not mean what we thought they meant. For instance, by stripes we are healed. That is not about your physical healing. That's not about cancer. Yeah, yeah, he says we were healed by his stripes. What were we healed from? We're healed from that great sickness, which is what? The sickness of sin. So what is the healing that Christ provided by the work of the cross? It is forgiveness of sins. So when you say by his stripes, you're healed, I've seen people that have used that scripture and do not listen to medical advice because they say by their stripes, your spirit man is healed. You've been delivered from bondage. That delivering from bondage is the healing that Isaiah spoke about and Peter spoke about. Yeah, yeah, now we've been delivered from wrath. You know, we looked at Hebrew women. We looked at the explanation of what we call Hebrew women. A lot of women have lost their lives and the baby's life because their so-called pastors have so-called anointing, which God doesn't give or God didn't give, so-called anointings for Hebrew women delivery. You know, we looked at scripture and saw that the Hebrew women delivery is a fallacy. Yet there's nothing like Hebrew women. In fact, it's a doctrine that is built upon the lies of other women. We looked at that. You know, you can lay your hands on those teachings if this is your first time joining us. You know, we've looked at all of these things. So, when we are focused on Bible study, I know people that have lost their lives because of wrong Bible explanation. I know people who have said they can do all things, and that doing all things it led them to their grave. So, as saints, we are to be serious about Bible study. We are to take Bible study seriously. Yeah, we are to explain scriptures using scriptures. You know, so we said there is exegesis and there's eisegesis. Yeah, and we saw that exegesis involves reading every text of scriptures in context. Yeah, so a saint, if at all you should have a favorite verse, it must be well explained in within the confines or the context in which it is used. You know, so we need to be deliberate about the things that we study in scripture, the things we learn. You know, today we'll look at one of those very interesting scriptures. You know, what a lot of us have used in time past for prayer. You know, so 2 Timothy, we can start from 2 Timothy just so we start from somewhere. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. 2 Timothy 2, verse 15. Glory to God. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. You know, Paul tells Timothy, he says, study to show thyself as approved of God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Yeah, so if there's a right way of dividing the word of truth, there is also a wrong way of dividing the word of truth. But the saint is to rightly divide the word of truth. Hallelujah. So, remember that word there, study, means to be eager, to be diligent, do thy diligence. Paul uses the same word in chapter 4, verse 11, or verse 9 there about. He says, do thy diligence to come. Yeah, so study there means to what? Be diligent. Yeah, be diligent means to be eager. So you can say to be eagerly diligently, or diligently eager, you know, something like that. But it just really entails that you put your attention to Bible study. Yeah, the saint is to put his attention on Bible study, is to, the saint is to give his attention to Bible study. Yeah, we are not people that just rush over and say, oh, the Bible says it, yes. Yeah, the Bible says it, that settles it. No, that is not the attitude of a good Bible student. Yeah, did the Bible say that God killed people? Yes. Has God killed people before? No. yeah. So there are some things that have been stated in the Bible, but you see, so you have so many things that are written in the Bible, in the word of truth, but not everything there is true. Hallelujah. So it takes a systematic approach and a systematic visiting of scripture to see what scripture really says for itself. Hallelujah. So today we'll be looking at Romans 8. Romans 8 verse 26. You know, I promised to teach this a few weeks ago. We just didn't get there. Yeah, but I think we just finally got there today. Romans chapter 8 verse 26. Yeah, you know, people use the scripture for praying in tongues. Yeah, I'll read it and listen and follow attentively. You know, look at what it says, Romans 8:26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. I'll read it again. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought to, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. So we are going to explain this now. Remember, if you pick this scripture out of context, you can use it for prayer, because it seems like it's saying something like, oh, there are some things you cannot utter in English, you need to pray in tongues, the Spirit helps your infirmity. You can only reach that conclusion by a method in which you will not love people to use on you. What do I mean? Most of us, if not all of us, would not like to ever be quoted out of context. Yeah, so if you realize when someone is talking about what you said, you know, when someone says, oh, Joshua said this, the moment he says Joshua said this, your attention is fully on what he's about to say to judge what he said as what you said. Yeah, so it's not just enough to quote. Likewise, the Spirit also helped our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray. Carefully. Now remember, we looked at James chapter 4 when he says, ye ask and receive not because ye ask amiss. And we saw that James did not even teach prayer in James chapter 4. Yeah, James chapter 4, we looked at it from context, you know, from verse 1, chapter 1, 2, 3, up to 4. And we gave examples in the same book of James that showed us an example when James was talking about prayer. Yeah, so we see that Bible study helps a lot. So when it says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth infirmity, it is advisable and wise for a student to read that scripture contextually. Yeah, what does that mean? It means that not taking a text out of context, forgetting the pretext and the post-text. When you take a text out of context, forgetting the pretext and the post-text, you most likely end up in a ditch. Yeah, imagine a long narrative and on the 15th line, someone says, oh, and he killed him. Yeah, it takes you reading from the first line or the first word to the last word of the letter to know that his kill might have meant a figurative kill of dealing with somebody. Yeah, but if you take that line alone in itself out of context, you might end up get yourself in a ditch. Hallelujah. So what does the truth of God's word say? We need to find out. That's why we call it investigating scriptures. Yeah, a Bible student, a believer is not to be lazy. We are to investigate scriptures. We are to properly investigate scriptures. Yeah, you see, we are to, see, look at it this way. As saints, we are to discover what the Bible means, not innovate. A lot of times what we do in interpreting Bible is to explain our cultural biases or the environment we find ourselves. Really, that's what we do most of the time. Yeah, we just use our culture, the thing, you know, we as men are product of influences. So a man just stays one place and just like, this is what they told me while I was growing up. That they told you while you were growing up doesn't mean that what they told you is true. Yeah, that your father tells you something doesn't mean that what he's saying is true. Yeah, that your pastor tells you something doesn't mean that what he's saying is true. You know, that so many people are saying something doesn't mean that what is being said is true. Yeah, there are too many people who are saying one thing. Some people are saying one thing. Doesn't mean that, see, when it comes to Bible study, majority doesn't always carry the vote. Yeah, we don't say because majority of the people are saying one thing. That is me. That would be wrong. That would be wrong for Bible study. Yeah, that would be wrong for Bible study. Think about the things the apostles were preaching and teaching before they lost their lives. Why? Before they were killed. You know, so we are to examine scriptures contextually. So, you know, as usual, what we will do in Romans chapter 8 verse 26 is to see a grammatical analysis of that verse alone, then look at the contextual analysis of Romans 8. We trust it will be a good time in God's word this evening. So we're going to look at a grammatical analysis of verse 26 alone, then look at the contextual analysis of verse 26 or Romans 8 altogether. So I'll read it again. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. Yeah, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. You know, two words here that makes it look like people, that makes people get to the conclusion that Paul is teaching about prayer is the word pray and intercession. But dear saints, a word only makes sense in the context in which it is used. Yeah, there are so many times that the Bible used the word pray, but it wasn't speaking about prayer. Among such times is Romans chapter 8, verse 26. The word pray is clearly written in your Bible, but it doesn't mean that I was speaking about prayer. The word there, intercession, you know how people say they're according to intercession ministry. You know, but remember we've cleared a couple of things from Hebrews 7 a few weeks back, a few months back, about what intercession really is, when it says the Spirit for Christ maketh intercession. You know, we've done a little thing, but we'll look at that a little just within today, and we trust that things will be clear. So, when you take prayer or intercession out of context, you will think that Paul is teaching about prayer or intercession. Yeah, but if you read in context, you realize that Paul wasn't even teaching about prayer in Romans 8. He wasn't teaching about prayer. So, let's look at a grammatical analysis. You see, that word there, Spirit, yeah, likewise the Spirit. You see that word there, Spirit? That word there, Spirit, is the word that means pneuma. Yeah, the Greek word pneuma. You know, it's a Greek word pneuma. If you remember our teaching on concerning spirituals, now concerning spirituals, pneumaticos. Yeah, pneuma, things of the spirit is pneumaticos. Why pneuma is spirit? Yeah, so Paul uses that word spirit so many times in Romans 8. He uses close to 15, 16 times in Romans 8. Yeah, backtrack to Romans chapter 8 verse 1. Chapter 8 verse 1. Go to verse 2. We'll just read quickly. For the law of the spirit of life. Yeah, look at verse 4. That the righteousness of the law might be filled and fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Look at verse 5. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. You know, because of our time, look at verse 15. For ye have not received the Spirit. Look at verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit. Look at verse 16. The Spirit. You see, yeah, consistent use of the word spirit. Look at verse 23. He now says, and not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruit of the spirit. So Paul is speaking about the Spirit by now looking at the observing the law of constant repetition. Yeah, you would see that his focus in Romans 8 is something about the Spirit. Hallelujah. So, it's not something you can mix out. If you read from verse 1 up until verse 26, 27, until the last verse of Romans 8, you will realize his consistent word, the reoccurring word, is that word, the Spirit. When I mean reoccurring, I mean the major word, the theme of what is being used, is that word, Spirit. Now, go back to Romans 8, verse 26. Yeah, so, likewise, that word there, likewise, is a word that means in the same way. In the same way or after a particular manner. I'll go over that again. That word there, likewise, it means in the same way or after a particular manner. So imagine you can't wake up one morning and just say after a particular manner. You must read it in context. You should read and read in context. So when you say likewise, it means that there is something you've been speaking about that you want to use to qualify what you're about to speak about. So you don't just wake up and say likewise. Nobody wakes up and just say because. I just wake up, mommy, because. It doesn't make any sense. Yeah. So that word there, likewise, means in such a manner or the same way or after such a manner. So look at it carefully. So a good way to read verse 26 for starters will be after such a manner, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmity. So we need to consider what manner that it is after. Hallelujah. Yeah, so we need to consider what manner or what way. What way is Paul saying as same way? So likewise, the Spirit also helped our infirmities. Yeah, so in what? So that word there, infirmities, is the word that means inadequacies. The word there, infirmity, is the word that means inadequacy. 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 The word there is the word that means inadequacy. Yeah, Paul has used in his earlier in the same Romans. Look at Romans chapter 6, verse 19. Yeah, remember we're dealing with that word infirmity, which is inadequacy. Look at Romans 6, verse 19. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity. Yeah, infirmity of your flesh. Can you see the narrative? Infirmity of your flesh. Infirmity of your flesh. Infirmity of your flesh. So that would be what? Inadequacy of your flesh. Romans 6, 19. So go back to Romans 8. Romans 8. So in such a manner, the Spirit also helped our inadequacies. Yeah, in such a manner, the Spirit also helped our inadequacies. So what is that inadequacy about? Remember from chapter 6, we've seen inadequacy of your flesh. Hallelujah. Yeah, so we have seen it as inadequacy of your flesh. So when you see our infirmity, it is not far-fetched to say it is speaking about the same infirmity he spoke about in Romans 6, verse 19. So what will inadequacy of your flesh mean? It will mean the natural disposition of your physical body. Your physical body. So a good way Romans 6, 19 will go is the inadequacy of your physical body. Yeah, dear saints, yeah, you find it in a place in your heart before we go on to accept and agree that your body has some inadequacies. Your body has what Paul calls infirmities, has some inadequacies. Yeah, so look at it very well. So when he says, likewise, the Spirit also helped our infirmities, means our inadequacies. So in such a manner, the Spirit helped our inadequacies. What inadequacy is that? Is the inadequacy of the flesh. Run with me to 1 Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Go to 1 Corinthians 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 3. Paul says, and I was with you in weakness. Yeah, can you see? So weakness will be what? The inadequacy of your body. Yeah, go back to Romans chapter 8, verse 26. Yeah, so any scripture you are going to go to, always make sure one of the finger is in Romans 8, verse 26. Yeah, because we are going to be coming back there. So what was Paul teaching? Yeah, what will inadequacies mean? It will mean the inadequacy of your flesh, which will be the inadequacies of your physical body. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Follow attentively. Now, see the next phrase. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. What is he speaking about? Inadequacies of your body. When he says, for we know not what we should pray about, what will it be in reference to? It will be in reference to the inadequacy of your body, your flesh, your physical body. The inadequacy of your physical body. Inadequacy of your physical body. Hallelujah. Yeah, so look at that word there, intercession. See what it says? But the Spirit itself maketh intercession. That word there, intercession, remember our previous teaching, we've explained that intercession is about the work of Christ. Yeah, for the Spirit himself maketh intercession. It doesn't say that the Spirit is praying for you. That's not what he's speaking about here. Yeah, so when he says the Spirit, okay, in fact, hold your thoughts there. Go to Hebrews 7. Go to Hebrews 7, 25. Hold your hands in Romans and go to Hebrews 7. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25. Hebrews 7, verse 25. Hebrews 7, verse 25. Hebrews 7, verse 25. It says, and wherefore he is able, who is the he that is able? The he that is able is our Lord and Savior. So wherefore Jesus is able also to save, yeah, them to the uttermost that come unto God by him. Yeah, remember we are saved by grace through faith. Yeah, we come to we have come to God, 2 Corinthians 5:17. Yeah, he has reconciled us back to the Father. Yeah, so wherefore he is able to save them to the uttermost, them that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. God, Jesus is not on any knee or one knee trying to beg God the Father. Jesus is not on any knee. Jesus is God. Yeah, so don't have a picture of there's so much terrible things going on around the world, and the angel Gabriel wants to blow the trumpet. Then Jesus now say, please see me on my knees. No. The intercession of Jesus for the saints is in the fact that he is alive forever. Yeah, we've done a teaching on that before. Yeah, when he says he maketh, that's why he says it. He says, seeing he ever liveth, it is his living that is the making intercession. So is Jesus making intercession for you and I? Yes. How is he doing that? In the fact that he is alive forever. Glory to God. So he speaks. So when he says he's making intercession, it is speaking about the intercessory work for the saints. Go back to Romans 8. Romans chapter 8. Look at Romans 8 verse 26. So when he says, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession. What is that intercession? It is in the fact that Jesus is alive forever. Now, this will come in handy as we go on. So Paul uses that word intercession, you know, just the numerous times used in Romans, we're speaking about the intercessory work of Christ. We're speaking about the intercessory work of Christ. The intercessory work of Christ. Hallelujah. So if you look at that intercession and groaning, it's speaking about, in fact, go to Romans 11. Go to three chapters after. Romans 11 verse 2. Romans 11 verse 2. Romans 11 verse 2. Romans chapter 11 verse 2. Yeah, this is the only exception in Paul's writing, yeah, where you see intercession used for a different thing apart from the work of Christ. How do we know? Look at it. God had not cast away his people which he foreknew. What ye not... What the scripture said of Elijah, how he maketh intercession to God against Israel. This intercession, it will not be in the fact that Elijah lives forever. It will be in what? In prayer. You see, what we did was just to show how words mean words in the context and the context alone. So, how did Elijah make intercession? Yes. What was intercession about? It was about a intercession, about a praying. Not in the fact that Elijah lived forever. Go back to Romans 8. Follow attentively. Romans chapter 8. So when he says the Spirit, this particular one is speaking about the Spirit, yeah, the Spirit making intercession, look at verse 27, and he that searcheth the heart knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. What is the intercession for the saints? It is the fact that Jesus lives forever. So the intercessory work of Christ is the what? The finished work of Christ is the intercessory work of Christ. So is it a past tense? It is past and present continuous in the fact that he is alive forever. Because we can't say Jesus was alive. He is alive forever. So the intercessory work is a work that is forever, but done by that one of work. Glory to God. Glory to God. Look at verse 34. Romans 8, the same Romans 8 verse 34. Who is he that condemneth? Yeah, it is Christ that died, ye rather that he is risen again. You see, we just explained that the death and resurrection of Christ is the intercession of Christ for the saints. Look at verse 34. Paul says it. He says, who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, ye rather that is risen again. Who is even at the right hand of God, who maketh intercession for us? What does it mean to be at the right hand of God? It's actually to be as the right hand of God. Yeah, it's not like God is on one throne. We've done teaching on that. Yeah, it's not like God is on one throne and Jesus is at the right hand side. No. When I say you are my right hand lady, it doesn't mean you're always standing at my right hand place. Yeah, it is that you are in a place of authority. Yeah, so who is seated or who is even as the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us? What is the intercession? It is in the fact that he is alive forever. That's why verse 35 tells you, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Nothing can separate us. Why? Because he is alive forever. The fact that he is alive forever is an intercession in itself. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah. So look at that word there. Go back to verse 26. Go back to verse 26. Yeah. So he says, the Spirit maketh intercession for us with groanings. You see, that word there, groanings, is a word that means to complain or like to be in discomfort. Yeah. That word there, groanings, is a word that means to complain or to be in discomfort. To complain or to be in discomfort. Now, it is advisable to know that Paul had used it earlier in Romans chapter 8. Go to verse 22. Go to verse 22. Go to verse 22. Romans 8:22. That word there, groaning, is a word that means to complain or to be or to feel discomfortable, to be in discomfort. Look at verse 22. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. You see that word groaning? Yeah. You see that word groaning? That means in in what? In discomfort. Yeah, in discomfort or in a complaining form. Verse 23 now further explains, and not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruit of the Spirit, even we ourselves grow within ourselves. Can you see that? We grow within ourselves. What is the groaning about? I'm getting to the final answer of Romans 8:26. The groaning is about waiting for the adoption that is the redemption of our body. Look at it again. Even we ourselves, we groan within ourselves. What will be groaning? Take care. This is what we're trying to understand. The groaning is in reference to the fact that it is waiting for an adoption. What is adoption? Ephesians 1:13. Run with me to Ephesians 1:13. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. Ephesians 1, verse 13. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. Ephesians 1, verse 13. Follow scriptures properly. Yeah, Ephesians 1, 13. In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, that is the gospel of your salvation. In whom also, after that ye believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until, look at it, until the redemption of the purchased possession. Your body has been purchased. The Spirit of God now lives in you as a saint. Yeah, but there is a redemption of that body that has been purchased. Yeah, there is a redemption of that body that has been purchased. Yeah, so he says, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption. That's why a saint can never be lost. Why? Because there is an earnest for his inheritance until the redemption of his purchased possession, that is physical body. Hallelujah. Yeah, so he says, until the redemption. Go back to Romans 8. Romans chapter 8. Romans 8. So look at verse 23. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves. What is the groaning? It is in the fact that it is expressing discomfort, waiting for the adoption. Glory to God. So we groan within ourselves. That is, we are in discomfort. Yeah, we complain. Our body complains. Yeah, our body complains. Why? Because it is waiting for the redemption. Look at it again. For even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption. Yeah, remember Ephesians 1 verse 13. Yeah, until the redemption of the purchased possession. What is purchased possession? Look at it again. It is waiting for the adoption to wait, that is the redemption of our body. Hallelujah. So what we go back to Romans 8. Go back to Romans 8, verse 26. So, when he says the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings, what would the discomfort mean? It means that the discomfort of your body is speaking about the state of your body. What would that mean? Your physical body, in as much as the Holy Spirit indwells you, is in a physical position or is in a mortal position where your body is yet to be glorified. Your body is in a position where it is yet to be glorified. What does that mean? Your body is in a position where it is still mortal. There is such a thing called immortal. Yeah, in fact, 2 Corinthians will show us where immortality will swallow mortality. Yeah, so, okay. Go to 2 Corinthians 5. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Look at verse 1. Look at verse 1. Paul is it the same writer of Romans, the same writer of Corinthians. Yeah, see verse 1. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in heavens. Oh, glory to God. Yeah, that's immortality. Look at verse 2. For in this we groan. What is the groaning? Your physical body is groaning. Your physical body is showing physical discomfort. Look at verse 2 again. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. That is mortality being swallowed up by immortality. That is, the saint is going to live forever. However, the Spirit of God that will make the saint live forever is already in the saint, but the saint is not yet glorified. So, what is the groaning? It is the groaning or discomfort of the physical body of the saints. Go back to Romans chapter 8. Go back to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 26. Go back to Romans 8, 26. Look at Romans 8, 26. So it says, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Yeah? So we're going to analyze this properly. Remember, groanings will be in reference to your physical body. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, take it a step back. Likewise, the Spirit, that in such a way, in such a manner, the Spirit also helps our infirmities, bracket inadequacies, right? For we know not what we should pray. That word there, pray, is not a word that means supplication, as in prayer point. No, that word there, pray, is a word that means to desire or to wish for something. Yeah, remember our teaching on John James chapter 4. You see, we are building up to something. So our previous teachings will help you in our present teachings. Yeah, James 4 verse 3. It says, for ye ask amiss. What is asking amiss? It means to desire amiss. It says, for we know not what we should desire for as we ought. Can you see? We've done a proper correction to verse 26. Inasmuch as we have not completed it. Look at it. So we can read verse 26 this way. In such a manner, the Spirit also helped our infirmities. Yeah, in such a manner, the Spirit already that is in us helps the inadequacies of our flesh. For the flesh, we know not what we should pray. What is the flesh doesn't know what it should wish for as it ought to. Okay, hold your thoughts there. Go to Romans 9. Go to Romans chapter 9, verse 3. Look at Romans chapter 9, verse 3. For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh. What is that? For I could wish that word there. So a good way to use the word pray from Romans 8:26 in Romans chapter 9, verse 3, it would be, for I could pray that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren. So that word there, pray, in Romans 8 is actually the word to wish or to desire. So go back to Romans 8:26. Romans chapter 8, verse 26. Remember, we are doing a grammatical analysis of verse 26 in itself alone. Glory to God. So it means to desire something. Yeah, you have some example. In fact, go to 3 John has one chapter. Yeah, 3 John has one chapter. 3 John, 3 John, verse 2. Yeah, you see, John says, beloved, I wish above all things. So you see some translations, we change that word wish to pray. So when it says, I pray above all things, that ye may, it is that I desire above all things. So you can say, beloved, I pray above all things. But what you're really saying as that word pray is to desire. Remember, a word only makes sense in the context in which it is used. So I desire, go back to Romans, Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 26. Romans chapter 8. So I desire. Yeah, so look at it. For we know not what we should desire or wish for as we ought. Hallelujah. Yeah, so for we know, not so. Paul didn't mention God in Romans chapter 6. The word there, God, in Romans chapter 8, verse 26. Yeah, so you observe that it is about the believer's earnest desire or earnest expectation. We'll clear it better. Remember from verse 23, even we ourselves, within ourselves, we are waiting for the adoption. What is desire of the body of the saint? It is what? Waiting for an adoption. That is the redemption of the saint's body. Okay, let's continue. That word there, help it. You see that word there, help it. You see? Yeah, but the likewise, the Spirit also helped our infirmity. We said infirmity is inadequacies. The word there, helped, it means to supply help or to take hold together with something against something. I'll say that again. Yeah, helped, yeah, is the word that means to supply help or to take hold together with something or to take hold together with against. So you can put dot, dot, dot. Yeah, that word there, helped, is a word that means to take hold together with. Yeah, to take hold together with or to help or to supply help, to take hold with together with against. Yeah, so when you have a football match going on, yeah, you bring in a new footballer to help the team. Yeah, you are bringing in to help the team, that is to take hold, to stand with the team against the other team. So what is Paul saying? After this same manner, the Spirit takes hold together with the believer against the inadequacies of the believer. I'll say that again. Remember, likewise, in such a manner, the Spirit will establish that as the concern or constant use in the constant word used in Romans 8. So, the word there, likewise, in such a manner, the word there, helped, means to supply help or to take hold together with against. So, what would that first line mean? Likewise, the Spirit also takes hold together with the physical body of the believer to help. Yeah? So, the Spirit supplies help. against the infirmity of the believer's body. What would the infirmities be? It would be the inadequacy of the believer body. Your physical body right now cannot live forever. That in itself is a weakness, is an inadequacy. Glory to God. We're getting somewhere. We're getting somewhere. So, what is the inadequacy? It will be the discomfort or the groaning in the... So, now, your body is groaning. Yeah? Your physical body, in as much as is indwelt of the spirit, is groaning. The groaning of the physical body, yeah? That, so the discomfort or the groaning of the believer's body is what you call the infirmity. Let's keep going. Look at it again. Yeah, for we know not what we should pray, desire for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings. So when it says with groanings which cannot be uttered, that word there, which cannot be uttered, is a word, is a single word together, which cannot be uttered. Yeah, a single word together. Yeah, it has to do with negative speaking. So we can say it this way: it has to do with a speaking, but in a negative way. So a good way to say which cannot be uttered will be something that cannot be spoken, or there are no words to express. Yeah, you cannot place words to express. What does that mean? It means that the body of a believer is in a present state right now. Dear saints, your physical body is in a state right now that even without speaking, without words being heard, it is complaining and it is in discomfort. Hallelujah. Your physical body right now, indwelt of the Holy Ghost, in as much as your physical body is not speaking for itself, it is actually in discomfort. It is what? It is making groanings. So it will mean that the groaning is from the state of a physical body. Hallelujah. You see something? Okay, let's try and say a contextual analysis of Romans 8. Go back to verse 1. Go back to verse 1, Romans 8, verse 1. Romans 8, verse 1. Romans 8, verse 1. Romans 8, verse 1. Yeah? Look at it. Look at Romans 8, verse 1. Look at it again. We'll just do a rundown through Romans 8 to get to verse 26. Then one of these days, we'll look at the book of Romans or Romans 8 in itself comprehensively. You know, it's Romans 8 where you see all things work together for good. You see, before you get to all things work together for good, you must have cleared that bridge. Likewise, the Spirit helps our infirmity. Look at verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ. Who is Paul speaking about? He's speaking to them which are in Christ Jesus. So a man that is in Christ Jesus, there is no condemnation to him. So he's speaking about specific people that are in Christ, that is believing. In fact, go back to Romans 5:17. Go back to Romans 5 verse 17. Romans 5 verse 17. You must have read Romans 5:17 before you get to Romans chapter 8. Look at Romans 5:17. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, yeah, much more they which receive abundance of grace, yeah, of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one. Yeah? So look, who is that one? Jesus Christ. So who is the man that is in Christ? The man that is in Christ is the one who has received abundance of grace by that gift of righteousness. Go to Romans 8 verse 1. Go back to Romans 8 verse 1. Romans 8 verse 1. Romans 8 verse 1. Look at verse 2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus had made us free from the law of sin and death. Clearly you see two laws. The first law Paul is speaking about is the law of the Spirit of Christ, or of life rather, in Christ Jesus. So number one law is the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Number two law is what we've been freed from. What is the law? The law of sin and death. So what is Paul doing in Romans 8? He's showing two different laws. One law of spirit of life and one law of the sin and death. Look at verse 3. For what the law could not do, what would that law be? It would be the law of sin and death. So a good way to read verse 3 would be, for what this law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his son, yeah, in the likeness of a sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. So, how did God tackle the law of sin and death? Is by the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. How was that done? God sending his son in the likeness of sinful flesh, yeah, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. The 2 Corinthians shows us in 5 verse 21. Yeah, he who had no sin, or he who knew no sin, was made sin. So, Paul is right. Look at verse 4. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Hallelujah. Look at verse 5. Yeah. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the spirit, the things of the spirit. So what is Paul actually speaking about? He's speaking about two laws, one of the flesh and one of the spirit. So he's showing a distinction between humanity. Yeah, making a distinction between two species of humanity, those of the flesh and those of the spirit. Look at verse 5. Look at verse 5. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. Can you see? Those that are after the flesh, they mind the things of the flesh. But they that are after the spirit, they mind the things of the spirit. Look at verse 6. Now explains, for to be carnally minded is death. What will carnally minded be from verse 5? It will be minding or being after the flesh. What is carnally minded there? It is to be what? It is to be after the flesh. To be a person that do or does or minds the things of the flesh. So, what do they call it in verse 2? So, can we read verse 5 to be, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. Bracket, they are carnally minded. Beautiful. Yeah. So, for they are carnally minded from verse 6. We just joined verse 5 and 6. So, you can put for they are carnally minded. What does he call carnally minded? Look at verse 7. Look at verse 6 again. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So there's a spiritual mindedness and there's a carnal mindedness. One is death, that is carnal mindedness. Yeah, one is life and peace. Look at verse 7. Because the carnal minded, which he explained in verse 5, yeah, as those after the flesh, which he explained in verse 6, as carnally minded, verse 7 now says the carnally minded is in enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. Hallelujah. Look at verse 8. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. So, look at it carefully. So, those that are in Christ, there is no condemnation from verse 1. Yet, they are of the spirit of life in Christ. Verse 2. Look at verse 9 again. Look at verse 9 again. Verse 9 now says, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. What spirit? You are in what? Verse 2, spirit of life in Christ. Who are those that are in spirit? They are those that are in Christ who have no condemnation against them. Look at it. See it again. Look at verse 8. Look at verse 7. Because the carnal minded is at enmity or is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it be. So then, verse 8, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Glory to God. What? Okay. It will come in handy. Look at verse 9. But ye are not in the flesh. Who is the ye that are not in flesh? Verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ. You can put in bracket, you that is not in the flesh. What I did was I just infused verse 1 and verse 9 together. So, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. Yeah, you are in the spirit, dear saints. Look at what it says again. If so be that the spirit of God dwells in you. Oh, glory to God. Yeah, so you are in the spirit of God dwells in you. Remember, the spirit of God dwells in you. Remember, the spirit of God dwells in you. Never forget that. Yeah, now, if any man have not the spirit of Christ, he is none of his. What does that mean? A man that is born of the spirit is of Christ. A man that is not born of the spirit is not of Christ. Is not of Christ. What did he say in verse 5, 6? He says, he is in enmity with God. That is to be carnally minded. That is to be in the flesh. But you are not in the flesh, verse 9. You are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. He that is in the spirit, yeah, is in that spirit of Christ. Yeah, he that is in the spirit has the spirit of Christ. Verse 2, what does verse 2 tell you? He says that for the law of the spirit of life in Christ. Go back to verse 9. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. Look at verse 10. And if Christ be in you. So a good way to read verse 10 would be what? And since Christ be in you, not if. When you say if is probability. When you say since, it is you are affirming a reality. So a good way to read verse 10 would be, and since Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. Follow attentively. Remember, there's a law of the spirit of life. Verse 2 explains that. Verse 6, verse 10 explains it. So, not to have the spirit, it says it is enmity to God, which is what? Death. So, look at verse 9. Verse 9, Paul is now beginning to explain, have a conversation of who the saint really is. He now says, you are not in, look at the verse 9 again, but ye are not in the flesh, but you are in the spirit. If so be, yeah, since so be that the spirit of God dwells in you. So a good way to read verse 9 would be, since so be, or what he's really saying is that since the spirit of God dwells in you, that is why he says you are in the spirit. So look at it, but look at verse 9 again, but you are not in the flesh, but in the spirit, since the spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if any man have not the spirit of Christ, yeah, can you see the spirit of Christ? Can you look at it very well? He calls the spirit of God first and calls the spirit of Christ, they are one and the same thing. Yeah, for if any man have not the spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Look at verse 10. And if Christ be in you, that is since Christ be in you. So what is Paul discussing? He's discussing the physical body of saints, the body of saints. He's discussing the body of saints. Follow attentively. So he describes the body as dead, which is mortal. Look at verse 10 and 11 carefully. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead. So, dear saint, is Christ in you? Yes. Is the body dead? Yes. So you, now, follow attentively. You must not mix tracks or lose tracks on the use of Paul's words. So, he says that if Christ be in you, the body is dead. Now, is Christ in you? Yes. Is the body dead? Yes. Why? Because of sin. Carefully follow. But the spirit is life because of righteousness. Look at verse 11. But if, can you see, a good way to read verse 11 would be what? But since the spirit of him, since the spirit of him that raised up Jesus Christ from the dead dwells in you, that same spirit that rose Jesus Christ from the dead, yeah, that same spirit that was in Christ that rose him up, the same spirit dwells in you, dear saints. See what it says? But since the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwells in you. That means your physical body will get to a point where it will be glorified, where it will be quickened. It will be glorified, it will be quickened. So what is Paul discussing? He's discussing the body as dead, that is the mortal death, and the spirit. So what is Paul discussing? He's discussing that your physical body, which is considering as dead, dwelling of the spirit. I'll go over that again. Look at it carefully again. He says, since Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. But that is, since the spirit of him that raised up Jesus. So now, when a man is saved, what does he receive? He receives Christ inside of him. That spirit dwells in a man forever. He's now saying, so he's using dead in two sentences, or using dead in two ways. Dead in reference to the fact that you are breathing right now, but you are alive. Why? Because there is a spirit that lives in you. So what is he saying? That mortal body, however the mortal body is, it considers, so he looks at you and says your body is dead. Why? Because life to God is spiritual life. Life to God is the spirit of Christ that lives in you. So that's your mortal body, it is dead. He now says, however, since the same spirit that rose Jesus from the dead, the same spirit that was, so Jesus died, he was in a tomb, yeah, his physical body, yeah, was dead, but there's a spirit that quickened him. Paul is now saying that same spirit will quicken your mortal bodies. What does it mean to quicken? It means to make alive. Glory to God. Yeah, you'll be dead to men, but alive with God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So it is that the spirit in you will give you proper life. So a man without Christ is properly dead. A man with Christ can be considered as a physically dead man, yet that would be in reference to his mortal body, or you can say it this way, a man whose body, physical body, can die, however, having eternal life in him. That same spirit. Yeah, that same spirit that rose Christ from the dead shall quicken. Look at verse 11. He says, the same spirit, he that raised up Christ from the dead, shall, that word there, shall, it means that when a man is saved, he doesn't have an immortal body yet. It is something that shall happen. The quickening of your physical body is yet to happen. They said, you know, it is a proper wrong read of Romans that make people say things like, I can choose to live forever. No, they said, your physical body, yeah, your physical body cannot live forever. Yeah, I mean, all the theories of Enoch did not die. It's not possible. Elijah did not die. It's not possible. It means that they had eternal life before Christ came. So why do we preach to people to believe eternal life? Dear saints, your body will be quickened. It will be quickened. Either you die physically or not die physically, it is really dead in reference to spiritual life. So the same spirit that rose Christ of dead will quicken. It's something that will happen in the future. Look at verse 12. Therefore, brethren, can you see the narrative of Paul is speaking about those that are in Christ, comparing them or making a distinction between those in Christ and those that are in the flesh, who are really in enmity to God. Look at verse 12 and verse 13. Therefore, brethren, can you see? Anytime you see the word therefore, be sure to know what it is there for. Yeah, therefore, brethren, why are you saying therefore? Because he has already told you that your body, mortal bodies, will be cooking. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. You see, Paul now includes himself, he says we are not. Yeah, so we are debtors. So we are debtors, he includes himself. We are to live after. What are you debtors to? You are debtors to live not after the flesh. Hallelujah. He has been explaining the law of the flesh and the law of the spirit from verse 1 to verse 10. Verse 11, so to say. So, the man in Christ is in the spirit. This is his, so your nature is the nature of God's spirit. Yeah. You are in the spirit. Yeah. Your nature as a believer is the nature of God. You have God's nature in you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. What will flesh now mean? Flesh will now mean what? Paul used that word flesh speaking about the old man. Okay, okay. Run with me to Galatians 5. Go to Galatians 5. Go to Galatians chapter 5, verse 24. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh. What will the flesh be? It will be the old man. The flesh. Yeah, you have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. Dear saints, so look at it. Dear saints, you are a man that God calls righteous, God calls holy. A man that doesn't live a holy life, a righteous life, is living anti his reality. In the real sense, those affections and lustful things are being dead. Why? Because you are now alive to God. Yeah? In that being alive to God, it means that the Spirit of God dwells in you that will quicken your mortal body. Go back to Romans 6. Quickly go to Romans 6. Go to Romans 6, 6. Yeah? Go to Romans 6, 6. Look at verse 5. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Glory to God. Knowing this, that our old man, that old man, their flesh, is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is free from sin. We'll go into Romans one of these days. Look at verse 8. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. That is what he's really explaining. Likewise, the spirit in you helps the infirmities of your body. Okay, okay. Go back to Romans 8. Go back to Romans chapter 8. So, there's flesh and there's flesh. Flesh in reference to conduct and flesh in reference to your physical body. So, a man that is without the spirit is in flesh. The man who has the spirit has been crucified, has crucified the flesh. The old nature of sin has been crucified with Christ on the cross. The new man is in spirit. Look at Ephesians 2. Look at Ephesians 2 verse 15. Look at Ephesians 2 verse 15. Ephesians 2 verse 15. It says, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments. Look at chapter 4 verse 24. Look at 4:24. And that he put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. So a man that is in Christ has put on a new man. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, you are a new creature. As a believer, you have put off the old man and you have put on a new man. You have put off the old man and put on the new. A man in Christ is a new creature. Is a new creation. Glory to God. So, he says, look at verse 11. But since the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, that same spirit that rose him, he says, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by the spirit. So, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. Look at verse 13. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But since, can you see? The first one will be if, but the second one will be since. I'm back to Romans 8. So, verse 13 will be, so if ye live, there's an if, that is if, that's probability. Ye shall die. since ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the flesh, ye shall live. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory, glory, glory. Look at verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. This is not talking about daily leading. That word "daily lead" is a word that is agile. It means to be carried out or to be brought forth. Yeah, to be born of something. Yeah, it's in that leading a believer has leading. Glory to God. Yeah, I'll say that again. Yeah, no believer lacks the leading of the Spirit of God. Only are believers that struggle with the leading of the Spirit of God. For as many as are led, that word there, led, it means to be translated, to be brought forth. Then look at it again. Look at verse 15. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption. The spirit of adoption. See, that word there, adoption, means to be placed as a son or in the position of a son. Yeah? To be placed as a son or in the position of a son. So a man that is in Christ has been brought forth, which is to be led by the Spirit, yeah, and is now a son of God. We were brought forth by the Spirit. Hallelujah. See, go back to verse 12. He says, brethren, we are debtors. That word there, debtors, it means one who has an obligation to meet. You have an obligation to meet. Glory to God. Glory to God. Look at verse 13. Mortify of deeds. Mortify. Look at that word there. Yeah, mortify the deeds. The deeds. What does it mean to mortify? It means to what? Put to death. So look at it. Look at it. Verse 13 again. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But since ye through the Spirit do put to death the deeds of the body, ye shall live. Remember, he's speaking about flesh in reference to a nature and flesh in reference to physical body. So we were led from flesh into spirit. Glory to God. We were led from flesh into spirit. Yeah, so look at it carefully again. Look at verse 13 again. Yeah. But since ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. You see, that word there, mortify the deeds. Go back to Romans 6, verse 4. Romans chapter 6, verse 4. Romans chapter 6, verse 4. Romans chapter 6, verse 4. Two or three chapters before. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. Yeah, yeah. Now, for if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Verse 6, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him. Should we go back to verse 13? Go back to Romans 8 verse 13. Romans chapter 8 verse 13. Romans 8 verse 13. So when it says, but if you live after the flesh, ye shall die. But since ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds. What mortification of the deeds of the body mean? It will be the deeds of the body of sin. That is the old nature. We have mortified the deeds of the sin nature and the body of sin. That would be figure of speech. So when you say body of sin, it will actually not be your physical body of sin. But what? A figurative for the flesh, which is actually figurative for what? The old man. Glory to God. Glory to God. Can you see? Can you see what Paul is speaking about? Now go to verse 16, 15. We have not received the spirit of bondage. Yet we have received, we have been put in a position of sonship, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Now carefully observe verse 16. The spirit itself, the spirit is not a it, it is a him. So, a good way to correct Romans chapter 8, verse 16 is the Spirit Himself beareth witness with our spirit. What does it mean to bear witness? It means to have the same witness or same identity. To bear witness is to have the same witness or same identity. Paul used it in Romans chapter 2. Go back to Romans 2, verse 15. Or in fact, for our time, let's go to Romans 9. Romans 9, verse 1. I say the truth in Christ, I lie not. My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost. Yeah, yeah, bearing witness is to have the same witness. Hallelujah. Go back to Romans 8. Right, Romans 8, 16. So the Spirit Himself beareth witness with our spirit. The Spirit Himself beareth witness with our spirit. What is the bearing witness? It is in the fact that we are now the children of God. So, when verse 13 says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, that means it will mean to be coming from the law of what? Sin and death into the law of the Spirit, as said in verse 2. So we have left from the law of the sin and death now into that thing you call grace, the law of, which is actually the law of the spirit of life in Christ. Now look at it. He has been speaking about, look at verse 17. And now, look at verse 17. A good way to read verse 17 is what? Since. And since you are children, you are heirs, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. So if so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. Be also glorified together. Look at verse 18. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Dear saint, this is not your house. This is not your car. This is not your contract. This is not your job. This is not first class. This is not second. A believer can be in Christ and fail woefully. A believer can be in Christ and repeat 5 years in the university. Yeah, there is no, the Spirit of God can, there is nothing like that. Yeah, it's delusion. Yeah, our previous teachers, we established that. Yeah, there's nothing like because of the work of Christ, because of the Spirit that can never be poor. It's delusion. Look at what he's saying. So when he says, I reckon that the sufferings of this present time. So what is he speaking about? Number one, sufferings of present time. Number two, the glory that should follow. Remember from verse 11, he's been speaking about a particular glory. What is the glory? Verse 11 says, will quicken your mortal body. Will quicken your mortal body. That is the glory that should follow. So your body as a saint is mortal. However, it shall be quickened. Your body as it is right now is going through something. So Paul now says, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that should follow, that should be revealed in us. What is the glory? Remember, the same spirit that rose Christ will quicken your mortal body. What will be the sufferings of this present time? It will be the immortality of the physical body. The sufferings of this present time is about your physical body. Yeah, Paul wasn't teaching persecution in Romans 8. Yeah, so there is a suffering that is happening right now. What would that be in reference to? It will be in reference to the mortality of your physical body. How do we know? We read from verse 1 to verse 17. Glory to God. What will be the glory that is to follow? It will be what? Rising up from the dead, just like Christ did. Yeah, that will be rising up from the dead, just like Christ did. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that should follow. Yeah, the suffering is about the mortality of the physical body. The glory that should follow is what you call what? The resurrection of the saints. Glory to God. Verse 19. For the earnest expectation of the creature waited for the manifestation of the sons of God. Dear saint, this is not about your car, this is not about your house. Yeah, there's nothing like, because I'm in Christ, the creation waited for me to see the car. You can be in Christ and not have a successful life according to man's perspective. So when he says, for the earnest expectation of the creature waited for the manifestation, what is he speaking about? He's speaking about the flesh and the spirit of God. He's speaking about the mortality of a man, of a believer's body, and the glorification that shall follow. And you will need to listen to this over and over, you know, to get a broader picture. What is the manifestation of the Son? So, what? Look at it. For the creature, look at verse 19, for the earnest expectation of the creature waited for the manifestation of the sons of God. When you see waited, it means something that is futuristic. It cannot be your today ahead of tomorrow in reference to your job. It is waited for the manifestation. So, it's something futuristic. So that's why he called it the mortality of the physical body of saints, the suffering. So what you call the suffering is about the mortality of the physical body of state in this present time. For I reckon, verse 18, that the sufferings of this present, what is the sufferings of this present? It is that your body is in a position, however indwelled by the Holy Ghost, yet is still in a position of mortality. Now look at verse 20. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope. Verse 21, because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption. What is bondage of corruption? It is bondage of the mortality of the physical body into the glorious liberty of the children of God. So first, look at verse 19. First of all, in first mentions, it says the whole creation is waiting. Secondly, he now spoke of the whole creation groaning. Look at it carefully. See, look at it again. Look at verse 20 to verse 22. See what it says. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who had subjected the same in hope. Verse 21. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of creation, of corruption. Look at verse 22. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. So, first of all, he spoke about the whole creation waiting for something. Yeah, what is that thing it is waiting for? The glorification of the physical body, mortal body. That is where immortality swallows up mortality. Secondly, he now spoke about the whole creation groaning in pain together. So what is the manifestation? It is actually the glorification that is to be revealed. So when it says, verse 19, waited for the manifestation. What does he explain in verse 21? Yeah, to be delivered from the bondage into the glorious liberty of the children of God. So, waiting for manifestation in verse 19 is equal to glorious liberty of the children of God in verse 21. Glory to God. Glory, glory, glory. So if you are careful enough, you see that the word groaning was used for the whole creation, including saints. Carefully follow. First of all, the word groaning is used for all creation, including the saints. Look at it carefully again. Look at verse 23. Look at verse 22, sorry. For we know that the whole, he first of all uses whole creation and groaning. And traveled in pain together until now. Look at verse 22. And not only they, he now includes the saints. He now spoke about the groaning of the believer. So in context, it will be the suffering of this present time. That means your body is groaning right now. What is groaning? Words that cannot be uttered. Yeah? Remember from verse 26. Yeah? It is presently groaning. What is the groaning? It is a suffering of this present time. What is that? It is the mortality of the body. Yeah, of the Son of God. I'll say that again. Yeah, it is the mortality of the physical body of a man that is indwelled by God. So what is corruption? See it again. For, look at verse 21, because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption. Corruption. What is corruption? It will be the mortality of the physical body. Yeah, remember that prophet, yeah, you will not, Psalm 16 explain in Acts chapter 2, that will not allow your Holy One suffer corruption. The same way is the same way that a believer's body will not suffer eternal corruption. Why? Because he will rise again. The spirit in him will quicken him one day, someday. So, what is he speaking about? Saints are waiting for the adoption, yeah, the redemption of purchased body. Look at verse 23. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruit of the Spirit. Even we also grow within ourselves. What are we groaning about? We are waiting for the adoptions that is the redemption of our body. Look at verse 24. He now explains further. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen, yeah, is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? Look at it carefully. You are saved by hope. What is the hope about? Is in the fact that you are indwelled by the Spirit. So, verse 24 is explaining what he has been explaining from the previous verses. The believer is saved. However, your salvation is actually seen as hope in the fact that there will be a day where your physical body will be redeemed. That's why it says, hope, that which is not yet seen. See, dear saints, your body is not in an eternal state right now, but it is something that will be seen. What do you call it? Hope. Glory to God. Glory to God. So, hope, that which is not yet seen. That is about futuristic. So, what is he saying? The saint is patiently waiting for that redemption of the purchased possession. Redemption of your body. What does he call it in verse 24? He says hope. Look at verse 25. But if we hope for that we see, for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. What is this saying? You hope that one day your physical body, your mortal body, will be swallowed up by immortality and you will live forever. We are patiently waiting for. What did he say? He said verse 25. But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. What are we waiting for? Waiting for the what? Manifestation of the sons of God. What is manifestation of the sons of God? Is actually what? A revelation. The glory that is to be revealed from us. What is that? The same spirit that dwelt in Christ dwells in our body. It shall quicken us. Verse 14. The spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. After he says all of all these things, with patience, he now says verse 26. In such a manner, the spirit also helped our infirmities. Glory to God. Yeah, the spirit helped our infirmities. Yeah. So what is it? Your body is presently in hope, waiting for a glorification that should follow. Yeah. Your body is actually, your body in itself right now has infirmities, has inadequacies. But the Spirit supplies help. He holds, supplies help. Glory to God. So what will be the groaning? The groaning will be an expression of the burden that is not in words. What I mean by burden? I mean the burden of the cry of your body, your physical body. When I mean burden, B-U-R-D-E-N. Oh, okay, we've used a better word before. I used discomfort. So what is groaning? It is an expression of the discomfort that your body cannot express in words. What did he call it in verse 18? The suffering of this present time. The sufferings of the physical body in the present state. So the Spirit works against groaning. Carefully. Look at it carefully. Carefully. Look at it carefully. Now, take note. It is not the Spirit that is making the complaint. It is the body that is making the complaint. The Spirit works against the groaning. The groaning is about your body. About looking forward to a glorification. Glory to God. Glory to God. So the intercession is in the witness of the Spirit. What is the witness of the Spirit? Verse 14, 15, 16. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Yeah, for the Spirit himself bears witness. They're saying there's a witness with your spirit. What is the witness about? The witness is in the fact that it makes quiet the groaning. So it is like an opposition to the groaning, or rather, you can say something better, a solution to the groaning of the physical body. So the Spirit himself that bears witness is a proof that the body will be glorified someday. That's why Ephesians 1:13 verse 14 we read, until the redemption of the already purchased possession. Dear saints, you are indwelled of the Spirit of God. But he says, hope with patience, we'll wait for it to see it. It might not look like it right now, but we wait to see it. Inasmuch as your physical body is in discomfort, is groaning, yeah, our spirit has a witness. Glory to God. Our spirit has a witness. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You see, so Paul wasn't teaching prayer in verse 26. So when you see pray, when you see intercession, we've cleared it from the beginning of this teaching. Before we go, let me quickly show you an example of when Paul was teaching about prayer. Look at Romans 1. Look at Romans 1. Look at Romans 1. Look at Romans 1. Look at Romans 1 verse 9. Look at Romans 1 verse 9. Look at verse 8. First, I thank my God, Romans 1 verse 8, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayer. That's not wish, that's not desire. I make mention of you in my prayer. Look at it. How do we know? Making request, if by any means, now at length, I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. That is prayer. That's supplication. Look at Romans 15 verse 30. Look at Romans 15 verse 30. Romans 15 verse 30. Romans 15 verse 30. Romans 15 verse 30. Now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake, for the love of the Spirit, that ye strive together with me in prayer. That is prayer. That is to pray. You pray. What is the prayer? Verse 31. That I may be delivered from them that do not believe in Judea. Prayer of deliverance. Glory to God. So, same word, two different meanings. Yeah, same word as used in interpretation or translation. Remember, we have laid foundation as to what we call translation and interpretation. Glory to God. Same word, pray. So, let's try and tie the knot here. So, Romans 8, verse 26. Go back to Romans 8. Romans 8. Is Paul was not speaking about prayer. He wasn't saying that when you cannot pray, switch to tongue. In as much as that's what we do, but that's not the verse for that. Paul wasn't teaching prayer in Romans chapter 8, verse 26. What was he teaching? He was trying to reinforce that the Spirit of God is indwelled by the believer, and by that Spirit, the believer will live forever. He was trying to reinforce that deposit of the Spirit that this believer has received upon salvation as the guarantee that the physical body, the present, your body right now that's in the mortal state, will be glorified as immortality. Hallelujah. So there is a spirit in you that will quicken your mortal body and make your mortal immortal. That means a saint is going to live forever. So what was Paul really teaching? He was teaching as a response to the groaning of the inadequacies of your body. We'll look at this some other time better. We'll look at this some other time. You know, I did a YBJ God's Palace amplified version of Romans chapter 8 verse 26. So a good way to write that will be in the same manner. Remember, so that means you would have read from verse 1 to verse 25. Look at verse 25. But if we hope for that we see not, yeah, then do we with patience wait for it in such a manner. The Spirit, like, what is such a manner? It is the consistent use of how He has put a disparity between the flesh and the Spirit. So in our next meeting, we'll try and continue from here. So a good way to write Romans 8:26 can be in such a manner or in the same way, the Spirit in us, which bears witness with our spirit, bracket verse 4, verse 16. So likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmity. Yeah, I'm trying to explain likewise the Spirit. Yeah, so likewise, the Spirit can be in the same way, the Spirit in us, that is the Spirit that bears witness with our spirit from verse 16, also helpeth, will be what? Supplies help to our infirmities. What is the infirmity? It is the inadequacy of your mortal body. So, in the same way, the Spirit in us, which bears witness with our spirit, supplies help to the inadequacies of our mortal body. So, remember when I said the next line, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. It can now be, for our mortal body knows not what it should desire as it ought. Why? Because your mortal body hasn't tasted eternal life. It is only when you taste eternal life that you can know what it tastes like. So you cannot wish for how it should properly be in the way you should in the way you ought to desire that. Glory to God. Glory to God. So for our mortal body knoweth for mortal knows not what it should desire as it ought to. So when you now see, but the Spirit Himself, can you see? Remember, we didn't correct itself from the beginning. Why? Because I wanted to show us from verse 16. So it will now be, but the Spirit Himself maketh intercession for us. What would that be? It will not be what? But the Spirit Himself, into bracket, which is received upon salvation. Yeah, the Spirit Himself, that is what is received on salvation, helps. Yeah, helps. Helps the groaning. What is the groaning? It will be the discomfort of the physical body, which the physical body cannot utter. I'll say it again. In the same way, the Spirit in us, which bears witness with our spirit, supplies help to the inadequacies, which is what we call infirmities, of our mortal body. For our mortal body knows not what it should desire as it ought to. But the Spirit Himself, which is received upon salvation, helps. Yeah, helps the groaning, that is the discomfort of the physical body, which the physical body cannot utter in words. Dear saints, trust has been a beautiful time. We're going to look at this much more later. You know, in days to come, we'll revisit Romans 8 verse 26. Trust you've been blessed. Trust you had a beautiful time today. Enjoy the rest of your evening. I love you all.